JC Corcoran Podcast.
Porn is different from sex in real life. Let's find out how. Porn star penises are 6 to 9 inches. Civilian penis? 5 to 7. And while porn stars have very little hair down there, in real life 65% of women and 85% of men do. Indeed, female porn privates tend to sport a similar look. But real-world vaginas come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. As for arousal, real people need 10 to 12 minutes to get going, while porn stars... Male performers can hump for days, but in real life, 75% of men ejaculate within 3 minutes. And though porn starlets seem to always have an orgasm through penetration alone, 71% of women don't. Now what about all the other stuff? Unlike porn stars, only 11.5% of women have had a same-sex experience. And only 40% of women have tried anal. Just 22% say they'll take a hot load in the face. And only 30% will actually swallow said load. The portion of women who've been in a threesome is less than 20%. And while the internet is awash in female squirters, only 6% of women say they regularly gush forth. Finally, what about light bondage? Well, only 40% have tried it. Wait, that's actually quite a lot. So there you go. That's the difference between porn sex and real sex.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, July 6th, 2022, 128 days remaining in our American democratic system of government, as we have known it. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. This is not a, I'm not proud of this, and this is also not an exaggeration. I almost got arrested yesterday at the airport. Very interesting. I was picking up my father-in-law, who's going to be watching our animals while we're in St. Louis for about a month, starting in a couple of days, and I picked him up at the airport yesterday. And, I was in the cell phone lot. The airport was not particularly busy yesterday, but in the cell phone lot. Mike, when you get your luggage and everything and you're ready to go out there at the terminal, you let me know and I'll come and pick you up. And, of course, I get the text and I start driving and I pull up to the Southwest Airlines little terminal pickup area there. And I just park along the curb for a moment, and I'm waiting for him to pop out. And literally, and I mean literally, the moment that I pull up, one of these airport traffic guys takes his fingernail and does tick, tick, tick on my glass, on my windshield, and says, you got to move. I said, I just got here. He said, you've got 30 seconds. I'm thinking to myself, what a dick. And at the same time, I don't care because I know that my father-in-law has told me that he's got his luggage and he's going to pop right out here any second. Well, he doesn't, even though he had told me he was there. So I text him and I go, Mike, I'm sitting here at the Southwest pickup area. He goes, well, I'm in 234. I'm like, oh, I'm in 134. You got to come downstairs. You're on the wrong level. So now while this is happening, this asshole comes over and starts tapping on my glass again. Let's just say the whole thing turned ugly. And the guy threatened to arrest me. And then he wrote me a ticket, which I threw on the ground. I said, I'm sorry, I dropped it. He goes, that's all right. It'll follow you. This wasn't in the mood yesterday. Some guy, you give a guy a walkie-talkie and a little shiny vest and a booklet full of potential tickets. And he's not a cop. He's not an airport police. He's just some guy with a little booklet full of tickets. And a shiny vest and a walkie-talkie. And it's amazing how somebody can just turn into a massive dick when you give him those three things. All right. Carlos Santana apparently is okay. You may have heard this already. He collapsed during a show outside Detroit last night. It's Pine Knob. It's their equivalent of our Riverport or Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. EMTs rushed on stage to take care of him. That ended the show. Carlos was waving to the crowd as they wheeled him off stage. No word on what was wrong, but early reports today are saying exhaustion and dehydration. I'm sure he's going to be fine. I haven't begun to get stories yet from the show at Busch Stadium last night, but it was just amazing. Within moments of Joan Jett taking the stage at 6 o'clock last night, there was video up, and there were just buckets of sweat rolling off people. And they do a pretty good job of accommodating the artists on stage. There's fans blowing. There's air conditioning systems blowing cold air down on people that you don't see, you're not aware of, obviously, because you're in the crowd and you're not reaping any of the benefits of anything like that. But, you know, when they say dangerous heat, they're not screwing around. They mean it. You know, this is dangerous heat. You got it again today. I was looking at this last line. Let me just see if it says the same thing. All right. 81 degrees already with a high today of 99, 98 again tomorrow. And it starts to break down a little bit on Friday, 92. And look at Saturday. Thunderstorms in the morning, but clearing just in time for El Monstero on Saturday night. High on Saturday, only 84. Saturday night, low 66. It's going to be magnificent out there. If you've never seen El Monstero, or for whatever reason you got busy and forgot that they're performing at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on Saturday night, here's your chance to grab some tickets. And we're going to have Kevin Gagnepan on tomorrow's podcast to talk about things. And I'm going to ask different questions this time, and I'll explain that tomorrow. A little asshole up in Highland Park. Turns out his, first of all, Highland Park is not Chicago. Highland Park is as much Chicago as Wentzville is St. Louis. It's a good 40 minutes north of Chicago. You're talking about almost on the Wisconsin border, to be honest. And I know a little bit about Highland Park, obviously being from Chicago. Highland Park is right next to Lake Forest. That's where Bill Murray and a lot of celebrities live up there on this really, really beautiful coast right on Lake Michigan. And the other reason I know it is because all throughout the 60s and 70s, there was a radio station up there, WVVX, in Highland Park, and it was known as a radio station that would hire fresh talent. And when I say fresh, I mean inexperienced kids right out of college. I applied for a job at WVVX once. I didn't get it, but you know, people would always be buzzing around Highland Park because, you know, this radio station was known to hire people without a lot of experience. But it turns out the little asshole with the rifle, a father who ran for mayor of Highland Park on an anti-gun control Republican, and also signed his son's application for a firearm. Of course he did. I understand that not a lot of people have had the opportunity to do a lot of international travel. To be honest, if I didn't have the job that I had. And then also, my first marriage, I was married to somebody who was the assistant vice chancellor at Washington University. And part of her job was to accompany large groups of people on these excursions. In other words, you donate $1 million to the university, and in the spring, we're going to take 50 of you to Austria. So I got to see Austria. I got to see a lot of the world on a free ticket just by accompanying my then wife. And then I got to travel certainly the country, and in some cases the world also, because they would have these movie junkets all over the world. And I got to see a lot of places I would not have seen had I not had this kind of job. But going to places like Austria and Germany, and, you know, the plane lands and you get off the plane, and right there in the terminal, there's uniformed guards with machine guns just standing there. They're all over the place. Let's just say I wouldn't have argued with the parking attendants at the airports in places like Austria and Germany. It's just not the right environment. You got to play the room, okay? But that's what we're moving toward. You can see it coming. That's the only solution to this problem as I see it, given the set of circumstances what we have. Of course, there are more practical solutions, but they ain't going to happen. There's plenty of money to go around. There's money to do stuff like this. And if you have to engage the military, maybe you have to do that too. I don't know. But here's the thing. These kinds of events are going to keep happening, and eventually, something will happen in terms of a solution. And I see that being something that might satisfy everybody involved. You've got a military. Instead of just making these guys march around all the time and clean toilets with toothbrushes, give them a machine gun and stick them out at the airport. And if there's going to be a big parade, have a half dozen guys with machine guns. They're military. They're trained. They know how to use them. They establish a presence. It's a shame that it's come to this, but it has come to this. And I think maybe that's how you do it. I mean, put it this way. There's usually cops around, and you don't freak out when you come to a parade and there's a police officer standing there. So, yeah, it takes a little getting used to see a member of the military standing there with a machine gun. But that's all you're really doing. You know, you're establishing presence. You're establishing presence because this little asshole up in Highland Park, you know, did it and then disguised himself as a woman and tried to get away. He thought he was going to do it and get away with it. And as these guys are sitting there planning these things out, and apparently he's been planning this for a very, very long time. And as they're planning it out, just, you know, that little asterisk just in the back of the guy's head, he's thinking to himself, okay, so I'm going to get up there. I got the machine gun and my dad signed for it. I'm all set to go. I got the ammunition. I got the outfit so I can turn into a woman and get away. And I've got the, I know how to climb this ladder outside the business there and get on the roof. And I'm going to start picking people off. And there you go. There's my plan. This is really going to work out. Oh, man, this is going to be fantastic. But then he just for a moment, he thinks to himself, now, there are there's going to be those half a dozen guys with machine guns there. And who knows? Maybe he starts thinking it over. Going, I don't know if I want to do that now. Machine gun. Just that little molecule of doubt in the back of the guy's head. And maybe that's enough to make him think it over. All right, it was this date, 1985, that I coerced a young sportscaster at Channel 5. And it's hard to think of him in those terms because I go all the way back to the days of Jay Randolph doing the sports on Channel 5. And you probably you go back that far, too. So I called up Mike Bush and I said, look, here's the deal. We can put a line into your house with a little microphone, a little power supply, and all you have to do every morning is come down into your basement and like four times over the course of the four-hour show, you do a sports cast and we sort of jack around with you. We have some fun and a nice little chunk of change, nice little chunk of change. Because when you start at a new station in local TV, you are not cleaning up, let's put it that way. I remember when Mike first moved to St. Louis, he was living in a townhouse, and it was not what you would call glamorous. So Mike said yes, and the rest is history. It was on this date in 1985. On this date in 1990, it was interesting because one of the movie studios, I think it was Warner Brothers, said, all right, in the spring, you start rolling out these big blockbuster movies in time for Memorial Day holiday, because what you want is a movie that especially young men are going to see over and over and over again. Put something out there that, oh man, dude, you believe this movie, you gotta go see it again. I'll see the movie five or six times. So you have those movies, then you have your big summer blockbusters, and those things hit throughout the month of June. Kids are freshly out of school, everybody's going to the movies. Parents are already losing their fucking minds because the kids are driving them crazy. So they're more than happy to drop them off at the mall for the day, give them a couple of bucks for a movie and some popcorn, and just have some peace and quiet for a few hours. But then those movies have their run throughout the month of June and a little bit in July. And then for Hollywood, back in 1990, it was sort of a dead time from, oh, I don't know, like early July. And certainly August and September, if your movie was being released during that period from sort of mid to late summer into the early part of the fall, that meant the movie studio knew that the movie was not going to be a big hit. And so they just sort of dumped it there And that was pretty much it until you get into October and November, where all of the big Oscar bait powerhouse movies start getting released. Well, like I said, this one studio, and I believe it was Warner Brothers, came along and said, what if we put out like a really quality movie, but we released it in, I don't know, like around August 1st, and put out a movie for adults, but that maybe not kids, but certainly young people would still be able to watch. I mean, still be able to watch the movie and get a thrill out of it or whatever. And it was sort of an experiment. And this was back in 1990, and it was an experiment. Let's see if we can entice people, entice audiences to go to movie theaters in the late summer. And so they released a movie called Presumed Innocent. And it did very, very well. You know, they did that also with The Fugitive. Interestingly, two Harrison Ford movies. But it was on this date in 1990. It was in Los Angeles. And the guy who directed this movie, Presumed Innocent, was a guy by the name of Alan Pakula. And he was also the man who made the movie All the President's Men. So I got to interview him, too, along with Harrison Ford, Raul Julia. What a trip that guy was. And in 2006, on this date, I participated in an activity that resulted in the following morning getting a phone call from Joe Buck at 7 o'clock in the morning on a weekend. And you know how that is. If your phone rings early in the morning, something's wrong. It usually means that somebody died. But in this particular case, it was Joe calling me to find out if I was all right. Joe used to do a celebrity softball game. It would be the brittle-boned celebrity media all-stars against former St. Louis athletes in a big softball game. It would play it over in Sauget, and it raised money for charity. It was really nice because they made up really nice jerseys. I mean, really nice jerseys. On the front says Joe Buck All-Stars. And so I played in that game, but we played way too well. You know, you'd think, well, you know, the former athletes are out there. They're going to smack home runs. They're going to be running the bases, the whole thing. After the fourth inning, the score was 13 to nothing, and we were winning. And one Mr. Kelly Chase did not approve of the fact that the score, 13 to nothing, we were still swinging for the fences. And so that when I hit a home run and I was coming around third, Kelly Chase emerged, shall we say, from the third base dugout and intercepted me, picked me up, carried me over to the area near the dugout, and body slammed me. He thought it would be funny. He was apparently unaware of the fact that I'd had two back surgeries and, you know, I don't bounce very well. And so I finished the game and I woke up very sore the next morning with that phone call from Joe. He's like, you know, when this happened, this is Joe talking, when this happened, I turned to Jason Patrick, who used to be married to Julia Roberts. And I don't know how he and Joe became friends, but he played in the game. And I was talking to him in the dugout, really, really nice guy. He's not a big guy. And you just pictured, you know, Julia Roberts, who is tall and lanky. And then this guy had a beautiful face. Jason Patrick was a good-looking guy. Any way you slice it, it's a good-looking guy. I can understand how he got Julia Roberts' attention. So I'm standing there talking to him, and we sort of made friends that night. He said, but Joe said, he says, when that happened, I turned to Jason, and I said, did you see that? Like, he almost couldn't believe that Kelly Chase, that I don't know what Kelly was thinking. Got to watch those hockey players. I just told you that story yesterday about the guy who knocked me down when I was shooting the TV commercial, Guido Tenisi. He was in the movie Slapshot, as a matter of fact. Anyhow, the Joe Buck Celebrity All-Star softball game over in Sanjay on this date back in 2006. All right, Rihanna is 34 years old. She's got $1.4 billion, billion with a B. Tom Cruise could earn up to $90 million for Top Gun Maverick. The movie has made $1.1 billion at the box office. He gets 10% of Paramount Pictures' cut, not to mention what he'd get from the DVD and streaming release. There's a British documentary in the works called Too Large for Love, about guys with massive packages and the challenges they face. There's no word if it will air in the United States. Well, I think it was like Showtime or HBO a couple years back. The guy who played Mickey Mantle in 61 on HBO Thomas Jane had a series that ran for a couple of years called Hung. It was about the same thing. Sammy Hagar says he makes more money from his business ventures than he does from his music. Here's the quote. We all walk out on stage and we're happy to do it because we don't have to do it. We do it for fun, end quote. Chris Rock seen, and I have the picture I'm going to put on Facebook as soon as the podcast is over. Chris Rock walking through the streets of New York wearing a St. Louis Cardinal baseball hat. And by the way, he and Lake Bell are dating. Kelsey Grammer said the script for Frasier, the reboot, is almost done. Birthdays today, Kevin Hart, 43. Tia and Tamara Mowry, the sister-sister twins, 44. 50 Cent is 47. Jeffrey Rush, Oscar winner, 71. Shelly Hack. Now, this was one of the last Charlie's Angels replacement girls from that series. And when people saw her, they're like, she's so skinny. There's no jiggle there. There's nothing happening. And a lot of people really came down on her. But I'm telling you something. She was absolutely sensational in a Martin Scorsese movie called The King of Comedy. We've talked about this before. It's a tremendous black comedy starring Jerry Lewis, of all people, playing against type. When I tell people it's a Jerry Lewis movie, they're like, oh, I don't want to see a Jerry Lewis. It's like, yes, you do. You just don't know it yet. Robert De Niro playing one of the most indelible characters ever. Rupert Pupkin. Sandra Bernhardt. Oh, my God. What a movie this was. Anyhow, she was in that movie. She's 75 today. Sylvester Stallone, 76. George W. Bush, 76. Sort of missed that guy. Maybe not for the right reasons, but I sort of miss him.
And so, in my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, speech to the nation, I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully. And America needs a military where our best and brightest are proud to serve and proud to stay. If you're a single mother with two children, which is the toughest job in America as far as I'm concerned, and you're working hard to put food on your family, rarely is the question asked, Is our children learning?
Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country. See, I don't think you can be.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Jesus, how are we picking presidents in this country? Anyhow, W is 76 today. Burt Ward, the boy wonder, 77. And the Dalai Lama is 87. 137 years ago today, Dr. Louis Pasteur successfully tested an anti-rabies vaccine. Queen released their first single, Keep Yourself Alive, 49 years ago today, 1973. Forrest Gump released in 94 on this date. That was 28 years ago. And Charlie Daniels died of a stroke at the age of 83 2 years ago. I dig up stuff all the time that you don't know what to do with it. You just don't turn on the microphone and start talking about vegetables. You got to put stuff in context. There's got to be some reason to be talking about it. But in a lot of cases, I'm looking right at a bunch of stories that don't fit anywhere. You know what I should do? I should do what Colbert does. Take all these stories that don't belong anywhere and do a feature called Meanwhile. Meanwhile, the stickers on fruits and vegetables are edible, though washing prior to eating is recommended. The glue used for those stickers on fruit and vegetables, regulated by the FDA. My doctor said I wasn't getting enough glue. Don't lose your pinky. It's responsible for 50% of your grip strength. Your grip strength. This is a particularly frightening scenario for men, if you know what I mean. Indiana Jones was originally going to be called Indiana Smith. The guy who designed Saddam Hussein's bunker in Iraq is the grandson of the woman who designed Adolf Hitler's bunker in Germany. A new study found that bicycling may be bad for a man's junk and that guys should consider standing on a bike's pedals every 10 minutes or investing in a less constrictive no-nose seat, a no-nose seat. Everything has a downside, though, because experts are also warning that the seats without the nose can make you feel less stable on the bike, so they do require some practice to get used to. A study at Ohio State found that more dogs in your neighborhood equals less crime, but not just because your dog is scaring off burglars, it's also because you are. Dog walkers basically have the same effect as neighborhood watch groups patrolling the streets. There's even a bigger difference in areas where people know and trust each other. High-trust neighborhoods with lots of dog owners have around two-thirds as many robberies and half as many homicides. Lifeguards do drills all the time. They simulate situations where they have to be called into action and into duty. And while this was going off at a beach in Long Island, New York, the other day, one of the lifeguards was playing the role of a victim in a training exercise while he was being attacked by a shark. He's going to be okay. Back in the 70s, I spent a year and a half of my life working in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Not exactly an electric community. Las Vegas tops a list of the cities that are best for recreation. 100 cities, Fort Wayne came in dead last. Florida may have a lot of stupid criminals, but according to a new report, it also is home to 8 of the top 10 safest cities in the country. Next Tuesday, Subway giving out a million free 6-inch subs. This is going to be happening between 10 a.m. and noon. They're celebrating their biggest menu change in years. Free subs next Tuesday. An ESPN reporter's flight was delayed because a woman had an emotional support turkey on the plane, and they weren't sure if that was even allowed. A cancer patient in Connecticut was chronically infected with COVID for at least 471 straight days, and during that time evolved at least 3 distinct variants of the virus in their bloodstream. And I know about this. I know about this because while I was writing my second book, I had an office that faced my backyard, and at the back part of my backyard, I had a beautiful vegetable garden. As I was writing the book, I would just sit there, look out the window, and the squirrels just decimated my tomato crop. And to add insult to injury, they would just take a couple of bites out of it and then leave 90% of the tomato laying there on the grass and then go scurrying away. Well, it turned out they were doing that. They were eating the tomatoes, not because they were hungry, but their instinct told them there was water in that, and they were right. For example, every bite of watermelon, 92% water. Cucumbers, 96% water. Celery, 95%. Zucchini, 94% water. Tomatoes, 94% water. And NASA says China wants to control the moon. Yeah, the bright side, the moon would be open for dining in on Christmas. And with that, we say that's it. The J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Wednesday, July 6th, 2022 is now in the can. 128 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. We are here every weekday morning with the podcast. We publish just after 7 o'clock St. Louis time. We archive everything. Feel free to email me, jc@jconline.com. Facebook, the showgram with J.C. Corcoran. I know a lot of people are on the edge of their chair, present company included, just waiting for that call from the FCC to say, okay, go ahead and flip on the radio station. It's going to be any day. We're just sitting here waiting for the paperwork to be signed off on by the federal government. And when that happens, boom, you got a new radio station. You are going to love it. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.